From the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffers.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffers, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. In the Lord's Prayer, we ask God to forgive us our trespasses just as we forgive others who trespass against us. But what about those who refuse to say they're sorry for what they've done to us? Are we just supposed to let them off the hook and pretend like nothing ever happened? Well, today I'm going to explain what to do when you're waiting for an apology. My message is titled, Why the Words I'm Sorry Are Highly Overrated, on today's edition of Pathway to Victory.
The Bible says that forgiveness is critically important, so important that your eternal destiny depends upon it. So how do you learn to forgive the unforgivable, release the bitterness, and begin to repair broken relationships? In his best-selling book, When Forgiveness Doesn't Make Sense, Dr. Robert Jeffress turns to God's Word to uncover the practical how-tos of biblical forgiveness. Request your copy of When Forgiveness Doesn't Make Sense when you give a generous gift this month to Pathway to Victory.
Can we really forgive an unrepentant person? Doesn't that encourage further abuse? You know, such an objection doesn't take into consideration that there is a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. You can forgive somebody without ever being reconciled to that person. We're going to take a Sunday and actually explore the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. But just listen to this. You can forgive somebody without their ever saying, I'm sorry. But you cannot be reconciled with somebody until they say, I'm sorry. See, forgiveness is simply a way that we say, I am surrendering my right to settle the score with you. I'm leaving that to somebody else. When I forgive somebody, I'm giving up my right to hurt them for hurting me. I'm saying, God, you or somebody else take care of it. But I'm not going to do it. I'm going to get on with my life. You can forgive somebody without ever hearing the words, I'm sorry. You can never be reconciled with somebody until you hear the words, I'm sorry. Thirdly, some people say, well, forgiving an unrepentant person, that is just unbiblical. It also seems like repentance is necessary for forgiving other people. In Luke 17, verses 3 and 4, be on your guard, Jesus said. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Verse 4, and if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. Now, the argument seems pretty airtight, doesn't it? First of all, if God requires us to repent before we receive forgiveness, and secondly, if the Bible says we're to forgive others in the same way that God forgives us, Ephesians 4:32, doesn't it seem logical that we can only forgive those who are repentant, remorseful of their sin against us? Case closed. Well, not so quickly. Because such a conclusion, stay with me on this, fails to take into consideration the difference between receiving forgiveness from God or other people and granting forgiveness to others. There's a big difference in receiving forgiveness and granting forgiveness. Repentance is absolutely necessary to receive forgiveness from another person or from God, but it has nothing to do with granting forgiveness to somebody who has hurt us. And so when we're talking about this issue of do people have to repent before they're forgiven, we need to know the audience to whom we're speaking. Are we speaking to the offender or the offended? Let me illustrate that for you. If a husband comes to me and says, you know, my wife caught me red-handed. I've been having an extramarital affair, and I don't know what I can do to get her to forgive me. What am I going to say to him? I'm going to say, no, buddy, you better come crawling on your knees to your wife. You better beg her for your forgiveness. You better admit to her that what you did was wrong. And you better promise that you will never, never do it again. From his point of view, the one needing forgiveness, repentance is vital. I would say to him, don't expect your wife to forgive you if you are unwilling to repent and have a change of direction. But suppose instead of him coming to me, the wife comes to me. She says, Pastor, I've discovered my husband is having this affair and I'm so angry. I just don't know what to do. I'm obsessed by this. I can't let go of it. What should I do? Suddenly I'm talking to another party. And what I say to her is, you need to forgive. I explain to her, forgiveness doesn't mean erasing the consequences of what your husband has done. I explained that forgiving doesn't even guarantee that the marriage will continue. But what forgiveness is letting go of my right to settle the score. It's letting go of my right to hurt somebody for hurting me. For her to forgive her husband means I'm giving my husband over to God. I'm going to let God settle the score with him or other people settle the score with him. I'm not going to hold on to that bitterness in my own heart. I counsel her to forgive unconditionally, not necessarily be reconciled, but to forgive so that she can be free to get on with her life. You've heard me say this often, you know, letting go of a rattlesnake may benefit the snake, but it benefits you a lot more to let go of it. It's the same way with bitterness. Forgiveness, letting go, may benefit our offender, but it benefits us much more. We need to know the audience that we're speaking to. Forgiveness can be granted without repentance. It can never be received without repentance. Let's talk about this word repentance for just a moment. What does the word repent mean? We hear it all the time, repent, repent, repent. What does the word really mean? The word repentance comes from a Greek word, metanoeo. It literally means to change one's mind. Now, this isn't just an intellectual changing of the mind. It is a change of mind that leads to a change of direction in life. Many times when I'm driving down to church, I come down the tollway and I get off at Harry Hines, and I'll be going down Harry Hines, which is one way, and it seems like more frequently I see a motorist who has lost his way in downtown Dallas trying to figure out where to go, and he's invariably coming the wrong way down Harry Hines toward me. I see this all the time. And so I'm driving and I'm seeing this guy coming toward me, and I just wonder, how long is it going to take him to realize all the headlights are facing him? He's going the wrong direction. Sometimes it's immediate. Sometimes he gets dangerously close to me and the other cars until he slams on the brakes, realizes what he's done, does a U-turn, and starts going in the right direction. Now, that is a perfect picture of what repentance is. Repentance means having a change of mind. It means realizing you're going in the wrong direction and deciding to take action, turn around, and to start going in a new direction. That is biblical repentance. And there are some instances in which repentance is absolutely necessary. In fact, there are four instances in which the Bible says we must repent. First of all, jot these down. Repentance is necessary for receiving God's forgiveness. It's necessary for receiving God's forgiveness. Now remember, God took the first move in saving us, just like the father of the prodigal son did. He made the first move when he sent Christ to die for us. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, he sent Christ to die for us." He made the first move, but we must repent in order to receive that forgiveness. Listen to the words of 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9. Although 1 John was written to Christians, not non-Christians, it still reveals a universal principle. Verse 8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins," that's another word for repent. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us for all unrighteousness." One church father said it this way. He said, "God only gives the gift of forgiveness to those whose hands are empty." Only when we open our hands, only when we let go of our denials of our sinfulness, our rationalization, our excuses, only when our hands are empty can we receive God's forgiveness. Only when we say to God, "God, I'm tired of arguing with you. You're right, I'm wrong. I've been going in the wrong direction. I'm ready to turn around. I'm ready to receive your gift of forgiveness." Only then are we truthfully forgiven. Repentance is absolutely necessary for receiving forgiveness. Secondly, repentance is necessary for reconciliation with another person. It's absolutely necessary for reconciliation with another person. While God requires me to unconditionally forgive the business partner who cheats me, he doesn't require me to stay in business with him. There's a difference. I can forgive that business partner for cheating me. I don't have to stay in business with him until he repents, until he shows an acknowledgement of what he's doing is wrong. In fact, I would be a fool to continue to stay in business with an unrepentant cheat. Forgiveness has absolutely nothing to do with reconciliation. Number three, repentance is necessary for restoration to a position that we've lost. You know, in Matthew chapter 18, this is so important to understand, Jesus describes two kinds of sins. Sins against the body of Christ and personal sins. You know, in Matthew 18, 21, Peter came to the Lord and said, "Lord, how many times shall somebody sin against me and I forgive them up to seven times. And Jesus said, no, up to 70 times seven. And then he told that parable about the king and the unforgiving slave. But what Peter was asking about, Lord, what about personal offenses, things that hurt me? Jesus said, forgive. He didn't say demand repentance first. He said, just forgive. Let go. Let somebody else settle the score. But earlier in Matthew 18, verses 15 to 20, Jesus was addressing sins against the body of Christ. What do you do when you come across a Christian whose life is being destroyed by sin and whose sin is hurting the church? It's hurting the reputation of Christ in the community. Do you just let go and never confront him? No. Jesus gave a fourfold process of how you handle that person. Jesus said, first of all, you go to the sinning Christian and confront him, and if he repents, you've won a brother. But if he doesn't repent, Jesus said, step two is you take two or three Christians to go and talk to him about this sin. It may be a sin of immorality that's hurting the reputation of Christ. It may be the sin of divisiveness that is causing discord within the church body. But if he repents after that warning from two or three, great. But if he doesn't repent, you go to step three. And that is you tell it to the entire church. You say, church, we've got a fellow Christian who is living in sin and he's hurting the reputation of Christ. Let's pray for him. If that's not enough to get his attention, step four says, Jesus said, you're to turn him out of the church. You're to turn him out of the church. The only way a sinning Christian can be restored is by repentance. Repentance is absolutely necessary if you have fallen and are trying to be restored to a position that you have lost. Number four, repentance is absolutely necessary to experience relief from guilt. It's necessary to experience relief from guilt. The other day while I was driving, had a little light on my dashboard that came on. It said, change oil now. Now, I have a very easy, cheap way to deal with a light like that. In my glove compartment, there's a little reset button. And all I have to do is open the glove compartment and hit the reset button, and the light goes away. Believe me, that's a lot cheaper and a lot less time-consuming than going to the gas station and having them change your oil. It's great. Just hit the button. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Now, what happens if I hit that reset button and keep driving my car? I'm going to do some real damage to my engine, aren't I? See, that warning light is an indicator that something is wrong that needs to be taken care of. It's the same way with guilt that we feel. Did you know guilt is a warning indicator that God has given each one of us? And when we start to feel that guilt, it's a sign that something is wrong. Now, we have two ways to deal with legitimate guilt. We can either hit the reset button. We can play like, oh, this isn't real. This is false guilt. And just keep on going like nothing's wrong and do real damage to our spirit. Or we can take that guilt seriously and say, you know what? Something's wrong that needs to be taken care of, and allow God to do a renovation of our heart. You know, we've got a great illustration of that truth in the life of David. We read about it a few minutes ago. You know, when David sinned against God by committing adultery with Bathsheba, then murdering Bathsheba's husband Uriah to cover up, David immediately, being a man after God's own heart, you can imagine how that affected him. He started to feel guilty immediately for that. He couldn't sleep. But every time he started to feel guilty, he hit the reset button. He would say to himself, hey, this isn't legitimate guilt. I'm the king. It's good to be the king. I can do whatever I want to do. And the Bible says for about 6 months up to a year, he kept hitting that reset button. He kept trying to cover over his guilt. He describes what that period was like in verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 32. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me, and my vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. And then, as you know, David couldn't stand it any longer when The prophet Nathan confronted him about his sin. David finally said, I'm not going to hide it any longer. I'm going to acknowledge my sin to others and to God. And look at verse 5. I acknowledged my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you did forgive the guilt of my sin. I'm speaking to some of you right now. You have offended somebody else. You have wronged somebody else. Maybe you have wronged God himself. You will never experience relief from that guilt you feel until you repent, until you say, I'm sorry, until you make a change in your direction of living. Now, we've talked about four instances in which repentance is absolutely necessary in receiving God's forgiveness, and reconciliation with somebody who has wronged us, and regaining a position that we've lost, in experiencing relief from guilt. But notice in each of these cases, we're talking about the wrongdoer, the offender, the sinner. Now let's switch audiences for just a minute. No longer are we talking about the person you have wronged. We're talking about the person who has wronged you. Can you forgive them without ever hearing the words, I'm sorry? Is unconditional, unilateral forgiveness, is it practical? Is it healthy? Is it biblical? Well, next week, I'm going to share with you the best reasons I know for forgiving the sorry people in your life who refuse to say, I'm sorry. By now, I hope you've identified these deeply personal issues that remain unsettled in your life. In the coming days, I'm going to continue to equip you with biblical wisdom and practical help so that you can deal with those painful moments when forgiveness doesn't make sense. Well, before our time is up today, I want to share a note I received not long ago from a listener in Pennsylvania who wrote, Pastor Jeffress, I grew up in foster homes until the age of 18. I spent my life angry at my mother until I heard you teach about forgiveness and its power. It changed everything for me. I'll be forever grateful to God for that message and this series. As one of our valued partners, this note of thanks really belongs to you. Thank you for doing your part in making Pathway to Victory available not only on your station, but in homes all across the country and around the world. Now, please stay right there. I'll be back with more Pathway to Victory in just a moment.
God calls his children to forgive those who wrong them. Yet very few Christians have mastered the art of implementing forgiveness in their lives. Why is there such a disconnect between our understanding of forgiveness and our willingness to grant it to others? In his best-selling book, When Forgiveness Doesn't Make Sense, Dr. Robert Jeffress answers your burning questions about forgiveness.
Somewhere in your past, there is a tremendous hurt with which you're still struggling. Perhaps it was an unwanted divorce, a surprise layoff from your job, or a betrayed friendship. In my book, When Forgiveness Doesn't Make Sense, I'll show you how true biblical forgiveness can set you free from pain and bitterness.
Request a copy of the book, When Forgiveness Doesn't Make Sense, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory. Plus, when your gift is $75 or more, you'll also receive the complete When Forgiveness Doesn't Make Sense teaching series on both CD and DVD.
One of the greatest barriers that is keeping some of you from forgiving other people is the very mistaken belief that they have to make the first move. In fact, in your salvation and my salvation, it was God who made the first step toward reconciliation, not us.
Thank you for standing with Pathway to Victory to bring biblical help and hope to many others who are searching. Together, we are piercing the darkness with the light of God's Word.
Today, we looked at the four instances in which repentance is absolutely necessary. But in each of these cases, we talked about the offender. So what about the person who has wronged you? Can you forgive them without ever hearing the words, I'm sorry? Is unconditional unilateral forgiveness realistic? Is it healthy? And most importantly, is it biblical? Well, next time I'm going to share with you the best reasons I know for forgiving the sorry people in your life who refuse to say I'm sorry. Stay tuned for a preview of what's coming up next on Pathway to Victory.
Today, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of the best-selling book by Dr. Jeffress called When Forgiveness Doesn't Make Sense, plus the brochure called Teaching Your Children to Forgive is Our Gift to You, simply for contacting us at Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $75 or more, we'll also send you the complete teaching series called When Forgiveness Doesn't Make Sense on both CD and DVD. These programs are made possible because of your generous support. So thanks for calling, writing, or going online to give today. Now, coming up next time on Pathway to Victory.
Surprisingly, 62% of Americans say you cannot forgive somebody who shows no remorse for what they've done. Are those people correct? Is it impossible to forgive people who refuse to say, I'm sorry?
Set your DVR and join us next time for the message, Forgiving Sorry People Who Aren't Sorry, here on Pathway to Victory. April 26th through May 6th, 2022, you're invited to join Dr. Robert Jeffress on an unforgettable trip to Israel, where Bible prophecy comes to life.
You've read about places like the Mount of Olives, where Jesus will return one day, walk the streets of Jerusalem, where Christ made and fulfilled countless prophecies. There's nothing quite like standing on top of Mount Carmel, where Elijah did battle with the prophets of Baal, or looking out over the plain of Megiddo, where the final world battle will take place. I guarantee a trip to the Holy Land will make the Bible come alive for you like never before.
Join us on the Pathway to Victory Bible Prophecy Tour of Israel, April 26th through May 6th, 2022. And when you sign up before October 31st, you'll receive an early bird discount. To learn more and to reserve your spot, go to ptv.org or call 888-280-6747.